you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. Welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I'm Lee Brown, and today we're going to talk about having the cojones to do something. Right? We don't usually get to say that here on the podcast. You're going to meet Beth Azor today. She's a commercial real estate investor and broker from South Florida. She's a Seminole, so give her some extra Seminole love, and I'll see you on the other side. Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content.
Yay. Hey, Beth.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I hope you are.
I am fantastic.
Thank you for coming on my show. I'm so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I love the title.
Well, there's not many times that I get to have an illustrious queen of commercial real estate, because there's not nearly enough queens in commercial real estate, which is kind of crazy in and of itself. So I really would love for you to tell my audience who you are and what you do and why I'm so awestruck every time I'm in your presence, because you do such big things and you just act like it's not a big thing. So tell them what you do.
So Lee, thanks for having me. I own shopping centers in South Florida.
Y'all, I told you she owns shopping centers. Doesn't just go in on the shop, owns the damn things. I love this. Go ahead.
And I don't like shopping, but don't tell anyone that.
I won't. We like people that shop for you or at you or near
exactly.
you.
Exactly. In my properties. So, but I'm old, Lee. I'm 60. So I've been doing this for 34 years. I started in what's called retail leasing, where I helped shop owners fulfill their American dream. So they came to me and said, I want to open a bagel shop and I want to open one in your grocery anchored shopping center. And my job as a retail leasing agent was to get them to pick a space, sign the contract, open for business. And when I did that, I was invited to every bar mitzvah and communion and wedding because I helped them create their American dream. And I loved that. So I did that. I was with a company for 18 years. I started in the rookie leasing agent training department and grew through the company, became the president. I was the president the last 6 years I was there, and then bought deals while I was there with my partner slash boss. I invested as a limited in 7 deals, retail shopping centers. And then in 2004, my son was 4. I was a single mom, recently divorced, and my nanny was raising my son. And I said, I can't be a big president and run this big company. We had grown the company from 11 people to 150. I was working 80 hours a week. And I'm like, I didn't have a kid at 40 to not be a good mom. So I kind of left the corporate world and said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to go buy deals on my own account. And that was in 2004. My goal was to buy one shopping center every 2 years. And I've beat my goal. I've bought and sold over 10. Currently, I own 6 and they're all in South Florida.
Okay. So first of all, 60 is not old. It's just medium. We are medium aged. Thank you. And by the way, since you do support the American dream, we're going to bring the duck in, because we always salute the duck when we talk about how amazing this country is. And people forget that what we get to do in real estate on all fronts, whether it's residential home ownership or it's business ownership, it's all about this is the land of opportunity. It's not the land of free things, which is what people are turning it into these days, because where is the fulfillment in just getting something? The fulfillment is in earning it and watching it happen. So what I would love for you to tell us, and I know you probably came in prepared with a story, but you're really special. And if with your permission, I'd just like to ask you a few questions. Is that all right?
Of course. You're special too.
I know, but
I heard you on Clubhouse. I said, I have to meet this woman. This woman's got my energy. She's got my jam. So love you.
And you're so funny because here I fangirl because you're doing things that would never have occurred to me as a young realtor. Because as a young realtor, when you get your license, you tend to think about, let me buy a house. Well, then maybe one day you think about, let me buy some investment properties. And I've now got a whole wildly diversified portfolio of real estate, but nothing includes shopping centers because it feels so big. So when things feel really big, they can be intimidating. And you gave this super amazing piece of advice on Clubhouse a few weeks ago. Somebody was asking you how to get started. You told them to go to the shopping center and offer to work at a kiosk to learn the business. Would you tell our listeners and our viewers, when you first got in, how did you figure out the where to start at the bottom? Because often we do this as professional, successful people, start at the bottom, just go get started. We rarely give people the specific action items, which you did. So how did you get to that point of knowing what it was? And give a little insights on that. I love your way of mentoring, gave her action items.
Sure. So my parents were in residential, right? They own their own brokerage company in South, in a near Daytona Beach, a small town called Flagler Beach. And do you know Flagler Beach?
I do, because Megan Farrell Nelson is a realtor there and she's been a volunteer leader in that association. She's not medium yet. She's one day going to be medium, so she'll understand where we are. But I got to know that Flagler County area. And of course, my roommate at Florida State was from Deltona, which is not Daytona. That's right. Go Noles. And so I got to know some oddball parts of Florida. It's also when I found out Polk County is what you make fun of. So Polk County people, don't get your feelings hurt. You know, we make fun of you. But anyway, go ahead.
So we moved there from Wisconsin in 74. There were probably 3,000 people in Flagler County. So my dad had his license in Wisconsin and was one of those guys that, you know, cold called at the dining room table in Milwaukee. By the way, we lived in a bar tavern upstairs from a bar and tavern that my parents ran. But at night he would cold call and say, do you want to invest $100 down and $25 a month? And when you retire, you move to Florida and you build a house on a lot. That was my guy for ITT. He would go on these little junket trips to Palm Coast, Flagler County, and show the people the lots that they were just now, you know, paying every month on. And on one of those trips, he took my mom and I, and we bought a house and we were closing in 90 days and we were moving our entire operation from Wisconsin to Florida. Loved it. I was in ninth grade. So my dad was the broker and he did the home sales and my mom was the property manager. So she had the largest condo townhouse absentee owner property management company in Flagler County. My dad would sell the units and then my mom would rent them. So I lived in that environment. So at 18, while I'm at Florida State, go Noles, big game on Sunday, I got my license. And during summers of college, I would sit open houses. I would do things and make some commissions. So when I graduated from Florida State, my goal was to be run the Olympics one day. I loved doing special events and logistics. So I got a job at the Heart Association in Miami, followed a boy down there who I eventually married, then divorced, and got a job as a special events coordinator, but making $11,000 a year. And Lee, today that's like 30. So that wasn't enough for the lifestyle I wanted to lead. So had my real estate license and I worked on the weekend selling sitting model homes in a residential development. That job, I go from 11 to 23 in 2 years at the Heart Association, but I go from $50 a day as an open house hostess to like $1,000 a weekend, you know, selling homes. So I said, okay, I got to flip-flop this. I'm going to go volunteer at the charity and do residential. So I went from working 7 days a week to five, and I'm sitting in this trailer reading People magazines. And I'm like, I went to the developer and said, we got to do marketing. We got to do events. He goes, no, I'm building luxury homes. You sit there and read your People magazine. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So someone said, you need to get into commercial. And I said, oh, gross, selling land. That's boring than this. No. And she said, this is a whole American dream thing, helping people open businesses. I said, so old. She goes, there's a company in Miami and they have a training. They train you how to be a leasing agent. So I call down there and I say, who's in charge of your training program? And they said, Donna Abood. I said, Donna Abood from Florida State? It's all about relationships and connections, Lee. So they go, yeah, she went to Florida State. So she picked up the phone and she said, Beth, we are sorority sisters at Florida State. Oh my gosh. She said, you're hired. Just come meet the boss. So they taught me how to lease space. And we started with market knowledge, right? If you know your market. And we just knocked on doors. You know, I'm the canvassing queen. So I still knock on doors to this day for my own portfolio. I do think understanding retail, like when I said to the person, go work at a kiosk. You're going to learn about ordering merchandise. You're going to learn about pricing and margins. You're going to learn about, you know, they say this on Shark Tank all the time, or Gary Vaynerchuk says this all the time. The market is the truth. You know, you may think you have a product. Go to the market. If no one's buying your product, you don't have a product. So there are big ideas, but you know, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So people say, how do I start investing? I just had a women investor summit last Friday. We had 108 women that attended. I had 6 women who spoke, all women who had invested. I had one woman who just bought her first shopping center last year, to another woman I met on Clubhouse who owns 3 hotels, to another woman that owns 34 acres of land, like all different asset classes. And the whole message was, how did you get started? How did you overcome the fear? And the theme of the day was, if they can do it, if we can do it, so can you.
All right. So what if somebody wants to get involved in investing, but they don't have a lot of liquid capital? How do they start building so they can get there?
They need capital. I know that on Clubhouse, Lee, you and I have seen a million rooms buy no money down. I've never in 34 years that I've been investing have figured that out. I mean, I've had partners that say, you don't have to put any money in, but if I'm going to go raise money, I want to say, I put in 100 grand. So you need to put in 100 grand. You know, if
that's,
I call it
skin in the game. And yeah, that's one thing that big investment money is looking for. It's just like a volunteer board of directors, right? If you're asking for money for the Heart Association, the board better have given to the Heart Association.
Exactly.
There's a lot of parallels there. Clubhouse is full of a lot of shenanigans, though. So if you're on Clubhouse, oh, you can make these kind of connections, but there's also people to be wary of, just FYI.
100%. So I tell my leasing agents or anyone that wants to invest, my boss came to me. I started with him at 26. At 28, he came and he said, hey, I've got a shopping center I want to invest in. Do you want to put money in? I'm like, I don't have any money. He goes, what are you doing with your money? I'm like, living. He goes, well, what do you, you made 68,000 and you're married. He probably made the same. You guys got to be investing. I'm like, okay. 18 months later, he comes back to me and he says, okay, we're buying another shopping center. You saw how successful the last one is. You know, are you ready? And now I'm making 100 grand, Lee, and my husband's probably making the same. I'm like, I don't have any money. And he's like, what the F? Like, what do you mean? You don't have any money. You're making 200 grand. What are you doing with your money? I'm like, you see the red Jaguar outside? And you know, that first class trip I took to Hawaii? He goes, you're an idiot. So he leaves, they buy the property, they refi within 6 months, everyone gets their original equity back. Now they're, you know, running on house money. And I'm like, you know, I'm having fun, you know, driving my car and going on trips. Third time comes to me, he goes, okay, see that deal? You're going to be the leasing agent. You know, the rents are 18. You're going to take them to 25 triple net. This is going to be a huge score. You have money, right? And like, I get all red in the face and he goes, you're kidding me. Now I'm making about 130, 140. My husband's probably doing the same. He literally dragged me by the neck, Lee, and took me down to the local community bank and said, you're signing, I'm going to co-sign a $50,000 note for you and you're going to invest in your first deal. $50,000, we've refinanced in 6 months. I paid the bank back and we sold it in 2017. I got that property in my limited partnership in the divorce. It paid me over $1.2 million. So I'm not saying go borrow money. So what I tell my leasing agents is every commission check that I got from that point forward, I put 25% away.
Yeah, that stop spending.
Stop spending. Invest it. You know, people have opinions about Grant Cardone. I invest with Grant Cardone in his multifamily. I diversify with him. He has a saying, don't spend your earned income. Invest your earned income and spend your passive income. I think that's brilliant. Save your earned income, invest it, and the money that that invested income throws off, that passive income, go to Hawaii or buy the Jaguar on that.
Which is interesting because this is what most people don't have the option, right? So you don't have passive income because you're not doing the extra things. And I want you guys to hear what Beth said. She missed out on earlier opportunities because of a stubborn desire to spend on assets that depreciate, because cars, no matter how much you love them, they depreciate. Jay Leno's garage is different. He's got classics, but that's still illiquid. Trips to Hawaii, okay, I'm going to say yes to that because you got to have memories to take with you. But the reality is most of us spend mindlessly. The pandemic has done this. You people spend too much money with that damn evil empire Amazon, and you know that you do because you know your credit card by heart and you just buy stuff without thinking. And so when you want to get really focused on improving your financial future, you got to think about the process. So I love that idea of 25% of your money just immediately gets plowed away into that account for future investments so that you're prepared. And speaking of being prepared, you're in the commercial market. You're in one of the most hammered segments post-COVID, which is retail, because of the evil empire. So where do you see bright spots in the commercial retail segment? We know that industrial and warehouse are kicking tail right now. Land is doing fairly well in most areas. Where's the bright spot for in your particular segment?
You know, I'm going to have to say that I love retail because you know what Buffett says, when everyone's going one way, you go the other way. So I'm going to ask you a question. You ready?
Yes.
As of November 2020, so we don't have the Christmas results yet. As of November 2020, $5.4 trillion of retail sales, Lee. What percentage of the $5.4 trillion are online sales?
I'm going to say 60%.
Okay. I'm glad you're sitting down. Everyone that's listening, sit down. 16.
Really?
16. It went up to 18 in early December, it went up to 18 and then dropped back to 16 in December. So the predictors say in 2030, it'll be up to 30.
All right. So where are they buying them? So my malls have been closed and they can't get workers because of the stimulus money. So where is the retail sector hot besides Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart and Target? So is it
Target, Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, necessity retail, restaurants? 10 years ago, if you owned a shopping center, you would not have more than 10% of restaurants in your centers. Okay. It's now 50. Restaurants have become the new anchor.
Makes sense.
Cell phone stores, health and beauty, barber shops, jewelry stores are hot. People during the pandemic have wanted to self-care. Selfies has spurred the Ulta Sephora beauty industry. So if the peak of online is 30. I'm really good with 70% in bricks and mortar as an investment. And you mentioned malls. There's 1,000 malls in the United States. 30%, 1,000 malls, regional malls, Dillard's, Penny, Sears, Nordstrom's. 30% will close in the next 3 to 5 years. Because if you're in a mall in Cincinnati or you're in a mall in Philadelphia, if you didn't know what city you're in, there's no uniqueness of many malls. They overbuilt malls. So 30% will close because the department stores are in a big, you know, they're having a big problem. So that's great for strip center retail, which is what I buy, because the less big mall retailers like Foot Locker is moving out of malls. K Jewelers is moving out of malls. Rack Room is moving out of malls. Where are they moving? They're moving into power centers and strip centers. So but the hottest thing, which I would not buy today because it's so hot, but you ask me what's the hottest thing in retail is drive-through restaurants. You cannot keep them in stock. If Taco Bell decides to move across the street and do a double drive-through, and I have the old Taco Bell with the drive-through, not only will it get caught up in less than a day or two, I'll get 30% more rent than Taco Bell was paying because drive-throughs, I mean, where Shake Shack said, I'll never do a drive-through, Wawa's adding drive-throughs. I just saw yesterday 7-Eleven is adding drive-throughs. The convenience factor that came out of the pandemic is flourishing because time is our only commodity. You can't, you know, buy more time, and people want drive-throughs. So that's the hottest thing going. I want to buy every bank branch on a hard corner at a lighted intersection, because I don't think bank branches are going to be around in 3 to 5 years, and they have drive-throughs. So any of your audience in any great little town or city, if you have an empty bank on a corner at a light, call me and I'll bring you in the deal.
Yes, call a commercial broker. If you're a residential broker who's listening to this and watching this, please know your lane. Beth is talking about an entirely different sector of real estate. So please stay in your lane. And I'm just going to point out, for the record, it's depressing to me, all this drive-through convenience, just for the record, because I'm a relationshipy person. I go into my bank branch and say hey to the ladies that work there because they're my neighbors. But that's a different discussion. Okay, so
speaking about staying in your lane, I want you to know that for a blip, I considered selling my house about 3 weeks ago because I had people, I live in South Florida and there are strangers knocking on my door. So speaking of staying in your lane, I have called 3 residential real estate agents. I would never try to sell my own home. I would not even know the start of it. Yes, I may own shopping centers. I wouldn't know anything about selling my home. So I stay in my lane. I hire you guys.
Yes, it's really important because hello, liability. All right. So I want you to give the one little, we got to have a little vignette, right? So a vignette from Beth's investment life in the retail sector. Give us one little vignette that you, if we were having a cocktail in person, you got to hear this one story. So what's that little story you'd love to add for the listener's pleasure?
So when I left my former company and went on my own, my first deal that I bought was a 1.77 acre piece of real estate, $1.2 million. And I was going to do 2 ground leases where 2 restaurants were going to rent the ground and build their own building. It was going to be great. I had 2 letters of intent. I'm going down that path. Out of nowhere, Walgreens calls me. You don't want this. It's off corner. Walgreens and CVS only like to go on the hard corner right at the light. But there was nothing in the market. So I negotiated with Walgreens. I'm all excited. We're going to do the deal. A Walgreens developer comes to me, makes us an offer we can't refuse. So now we're going to flip the ground lease with Walgreens to the Walgreens developer at a stupid price. So we're under contract and they go do a title search and a survey. And they find that our local utility company, Florida Power and Light, have a transformer that's not in the easement, a protected easement for utilities. It's on my site. So I now, and closing's in 3 weeks. And I call, you know, the very naive utility company, you need to move this transformer. Okay, we'll be there in 9 months. Like, what? I don't think so. So I call, I try to go over their head. I find the address. I go sit in the waiting room for 6 hours at FP&L with a box of cupcakes. 6 hours later, I'm looking at the receptionist all day long. And she's like shaking her head. I'm like, I'm not leaving until someone sees me on these cupcakes. So finally, this guy comes out and he's like, you know, we can't help you. There's like 40,000 people ahead of you on a schedule. And I'm like, you put your transformer on my property. I'm going to sue you. This is a contract worth $5.3 million or whatever it was. I'm going to sue you. You need to figure it out. So 3 days later, I get a call from the receptionist who had been staring at for 6 hours. And she says, you're not going to believe it. You're on the schedule for next week. I'm like, yippee-yay-ha. They go, they get the permit. I don't know how they got the permit. They'd move it. The buyer goes and does the survey. They call and go, you're not going to believe it. I go, what? They missed by this much. They moved it and it didn't get off my property.
You can't be serious.
It was still overlapping on my property. I called the buyer and I said, either close next Friday or we're done. I'm going to go back to doing the 2 ground lease tenants. And they closed.
That's a very FP&L story, by the way.
So the lessons are, women or men, but mostly women, we get told no all the time. We get told that obstacles cannot be overcome. My attorney said, you're never getting FP&L. I offered to the buyer, I said, I'll put the money in escrow. You know, like we'll get this, you know, they wouldn't hear of it. They wanted to drop the contract. This is, by the way, 08, like 09 staring us in the face. I'm like, we're closing this contract. You know, cupcakes, like people were laughing at me. You're taking cupcakes to FP&L? Yeah, that's going to work. Yeah, it did. It did. It actually did. And then having the cojones, you know, I'm from Miami, so you know what that is, to say, okay, I did my part, freaking close. You know, you can figure it out. It's this much, close. or I'm moving on, and have them know that the tone in your voice is you really are going to move on. It's not just a threat.
Food is a love language, just for the record. And love languages matter, and strength is a love language, and confidence is certainly a love language. Beth, I appreciate you so much for giving us information on market conditions and inspiration on getting started and inspiration on starting over, and why hard work matters and why working as a kid matters and why Florida State's amazing because the connections matter. And also giving us a story about how you actually got to see a human at Florida Power and Light, which you're probably the only person on earth that's done that didn't work there. So high five, sister. So if people want to reach out to you and find out more about Azor Academy, which is listed behind you, what's the best way for them to find you?
So LinkedIn is probably the best. Beth Azor on LinkedIn, or Beth at azoradvisoryservices.com. Email is always the best way.
And of course, all of her contact information will be in the show notes for this episode to make your life easier. If you're on Clubhouse, she's easy to find, Instagram as well. So make sure that you reach out and connect and learn some things, because that's what makes life amazing. And it is definitely the crazy shit in real estate, is the blue million directions you can choose to go in if you just have the cojones to do it. Beth, I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful to know you and for coming on the show to share your story. And I'm excited to connect further.
Thank you, Lee. I can't wait to further our relationship.
All right, guys, subscribe to the podcast. You know you want to. Give us 5 stars, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.